translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The names of the seven sages are as follows: Chitraketu, Surochi, Viraja, Mitra, Ullana, Vasubhridana, and Duman. Some other very competent sons were born from Vasishtha's other wife. Please repeat after me. The names of these seven sages, are as follows: Chitraketu, Surachi, Viraja, Mitra, Ulvana, Vasubhridana, and Duman. Some other very competent sons were born from Vasishtha's other wife. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Urja, who is sometimes known as Arundhati and was the wife of Vasishtha, was the ninth daughter of Kardamoma. Very little purport. So, we can see what is the name of this chapter? The genealogical tables of the daughters of Manu. Which Manu is this? Swayambhuva Manu. How many daughters did he have? Three daughters. So what are those? What are the names of those three daughters? Akuti, Prasuti, and Devavriti. Do you remember who they were married to? Who was married to Akuti? Akuti was married to Ruchi. And Devahuti married to Kardamuni. And Prasuti was married to Daksha. Prasuti hasn't been mentioned as yet. We saw how Akuti's children, and now Devahuti's children, our daughters are being mentioned. How many daughters Devahuti had? Devahuti was married to whom? Kardama Muni. So, from Kardama Muni, Devahuti had nine daughters. And how many sons did he have?
One
son. What was the name of the son?
Kapildev.
Very good. Last chapter dealt with Kapildev's activity. Last few chapters, actually. Kapildev was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Kapildev gave the Sankhya philosophy. He was the propounder of Sankhya philosophy. And from Kapildev's teachings, what do we find? What is the ultimate goal of Sankhya philosophy? The ultimate goal of Sankhya philosophy is pure devotional service. Kapildev, what did he describe, Kapildev? What is the ultimate goal of life, according to Kapildev's teaching? How many of you remember Kapildev's teaching? What was the ultimate goal of Kapildev's teaching? Pure devotional service. So if Kapildev is expounding the Sankhya philosophy, then Sankhya philosophy is leading to what? Pure devotional service. Sankhya philosophy gradually explains the existence of the soul. Sankhya, what is the meaning of the word Sankhya? Sankhya means analytical study. So this analytical study first is analyzing the material nature. We are seeing this material nature. So this visible material nature is analyzed. But by analyzing the visible material nature, Sankhya philosophy is coming to the point of recognizing the existence of the soul. How? You analyze the entire material nature And then after analyzing the material nature, what do you see? The matter is there, but there is another thing in this material nature that makes the matter alive. What is that? That is the soul. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna explained it in a very simple way, in just two verses. He analyzed the material nature as Bhumi, Rapo, Analo, Vayu, Khang, Mano, Buddhi, Devacha, Ahankara, Ityangme, Bhinna, Prakriti, Ashtadha. Bhumi, this means, Bhumi means earth, Apo, water, Analo, fire, Vayu, Khang, ether, Mano, Buddhi, Ahankara, mind, intelligence, and policy. Dhinna Prakriti, Ashtadha. This material nature is consisting of or is composed of these eight elements. But then what is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita? Aparaya mitastanna prakritim vithime param. These are the inferior elements. But there is another thing. So one is the superior energy. What is the superior energy? Jiva Bhutan, spirit soul, living it. Like we can see, the body is made of matter. The body is made of matter. But can the body made of matter function by itself? Can matter function by itself? No. Only as long as the soul is in that body made of matter, then the body becomes alive. When the soul leaves the body becomes dead matter. This table is made of matter. Is the table alive or dead? Dead matter. But you, are you alive? Why? Because the soul is dead. But someday, we all will become dead. Do you accept it? Someday we all will die. And what will happen when we die? The soul will leave the body. When the soul leaves the body, then dead matter becomes dead again. Death means soul's departure from the body. When the soul leaves the body becomes dead. Just like this table is dead, this seat is dead, this wall is dead, the floor is dead, right? Dead matter, they are all dead matter. Similarly, our body will become dead when the soul will leave the body. So does soul exist from this in this way? We can understand that the soul exists. Because in this world we see there are two types of things existing side by side. One is inert matter and the other is living beings. Like we all are living, right? We all are alive. Not only we all are alive, there are some, if we look out of the window, we will see some birds flying. Are those birds alive? Yeah. Then we will see some dogs passing by. Those are dogs alive? Yeah. Then we will see some cows walking by. Are those cows alive?
Yeah.
Then we see some mosquitoes flying. Those mosquitoes alive?
Yeah.
Then we see some trees. Are those trees alive?
Yeah.
Then we see grass. Are those grass alive?
Yeah.
So, what makes all of them alive? The presence of the soul. So, there are living entities, the living entities means presence of a soul in a body made of matter. So that is the sum and substance of Sankhya philosophy actually. The Sankhya philosophy doesn't stop there. The Sankhya philosophy then considers, okay, souls are there. But where does the soul come from? The soul must have come from a supreme soul. Right? The soul cannot come by itself. Right? So they must have an origin. So who is that origin? The origin is the supreme soul. Or super soul. Or God. Alright, God is established. So in this way, Sankhya establishes the existence of God. Now, it leads to the next point. God is the source and we all are His path. Now what is the relationship between the source and the part? What is the relationship? The relationship between the soul and the part is, source and the part is its connection. The part is meaningful only as long as it's connected to the source. Like for example, this finger is a part of my body. Right? When this finger is connected to my body, it's a part of my body. It's very valuable. But if the finger is cut off from my body and lying on the floor, does it have any value? But not only the finger, we consider that there is this camera. And this camera has a little screw. As long as the screw is connected to the camera, the screw is very important. But if the screw is separated from the camera, does it have any value? No. So, in this way we can see the part's existence depends upon its connection to the whole. We can consider a leaf of a big tree, banyan tree. If it is connected to the tree, it's a part of the tree. When the leaf falls out of the tree, does it have any value? A dry leaf lying on the ground, does it have any value? But when the leaf is connected to the tree, then you can see it is so important for the tree. All those small little leaves. And also it looks so beautiful also. When it is connected to the tree, it's green. It's so shiny, it's so beautiful. But when it becomes separated from the tree, then how does it look like? A dry leaf? So, the connection between the parts connection to the whole is the importance for its existence. Now how does one become connected to the Supreme Soul? How can a soul become connected to the Supreme Soul? The means by which a soul can be connected to the Supreme Soul, God, is love. It is through love that one becomes connected to others. It is through love that the soul becomes connected to the Supreme Personality of God. And that love for Krishna is called bhakti. So anyway, we came to that point. Like soul, supreme soul. Accepted? Right? That supreme soul is God. Supreme personality of God. Now who is He? Who is God?
Krishna.
Who is God?
Krishna.
Why? Why Krishna is God?
Bhagavad Gita is
God, what is the meaning of the word God? The meaning of the word God, Bhagavan, is one who has all the, who possesses all opulence, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. That is the description of the word Bhagavan in our scriptures. Now, who can claim that he has all the opulence? Do you know anybody who has all the wealth? Do you know anybody? Huh? What happened?
No.
I know you are thinking you possess all the wealth. Or you wish to possess all the wealth. But actually nobody can possess all the wealth. There may be someone very rich. Like for example, the treasurer of the demigods, Kubera, he has kind of wealth that he can't even imagine. But still Kubera can't claim that he has all the wealth. He has some wealth. But this is only of this universe. But there are so many other universes. Can Kubera claim that he is possesses the wealth of other universes? Similarly, many other universes also have their Kuberas. But can those Kuberas claim that they possess all the wealth? But there is somebody who possesses all the universes. Who is that? Then does he possess all the wealth of the universes? Somebody may be very strong, very powerful, but can he say that he has all the power? No. He may have some power, like Brahma is a very powerful person, but Brahma has the control over one universe. But in this creation, is there only one universe or many universes? So Brahma may be the controller of one universe, but he doesn't have the control over other universes. But who created all the universes? Does he possess all the universes? Does he have all the power of all the universes? So in this way, we can see that Krishna has all the wealth, all the strength. Similarly, there Krishna possesses also all beauty. Krishna is the most beautiful. Krishna is the most famous. See, there are so many famous people. But has there been anyone as famous as Krishna? Krishna, 5,000 years ago, when he was here, he was most famous. At that time he was most famous because of his activity. People all the time were talking about Krishna. You know, Krishna did this, Krishna did that. In Vrindavan, the residents saw what Krishna could do. A 7-year-old boy lifted a hill. Now can you imagine, if you hear something like that in the internet, if the news is there in CNN or BBC, that one little boy lifted a mountain. Won't it become a very big topic for all the people of the world? So similarly, Krishna's activities made him very famous. Those days, of course, there was no newspapers, there was no internet, but people just spoke. They heard, they saw, they spoke, and others heard. And they also spoke to others. And in this way, everyone was talking about Krishna's activities. And are people still talking about Krishna's activities? Now, there may have been a very big news, a very famous person, 7 days back. Now, is he? Do you think of him anymore? You heard of somebody 7 days ago in the newspaper. He became famous. But then within 7 days, you forgot. Think of some news 7 days back. Or we can say, like, there was a president called Bill Clinton in America. When he was the president, many people were talking to him all the time. But then Bill Clinton had to resign. He had to leave the position, and some other person became president. So then the people, when Bill Clinton was gone from his presidency, then did people speak about Bill Clinton? No. Bill Clinton became an ordinary person again. Now you see, he read some news about Bill Clinton. He came to India a few days back, few weeks back. Did how many people bothered about it? Or there were some famous person, say, we can say there was some very famous king. Like there was a very famous king called Akbar. Right? But then, do people remember them? Or during our time, somebody was very famous. But are they famous today? No. Like few years back, I remember among the youngsters, there was some, say when we were young, some very famous singers were there. Like Jimi Hendrix. Or Santana. But today, the youngsters, do you remember Jimi Hendrix? But who is famous for you now? Michael Jackson, right? Or he is also gone. So in this way, somebody comes, becomes famous for some time, but then his fame disappears. But did it happen with Krishna? Rather, Krishna's fame is becoming more and more widespread. Previously, people used to know about Krishna only in India. In America, Europe, people didn't know about Krishna. But now, people are becoming aware. That is due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada's sincere endeavor to glorify Krishna. Because of Srila Prabhupada, people all over the world are becoming aware of Krishna. They're reading Prabhupada's books, they're meeting the devotees, they're hearing about Krishna. And in this way, everybody is becoming aware of Krishna's glory. So, this is how we can see that Krishna is most famous. He has all the fame. How many did he cover? Wealth, strength, beauty, fame. Now there are two more. What are those two? Knowledge. Krishna knows everything. Don't we use the word all knowing or all cognizant? In the Latin word for that is omniscient. Omniscient. Who is omniscient? Who is omniscient? Krishna is omniscient. Krishna knows everything. You know how Krishna knows everything? Krishna is sitting in your heart and he is watching what you are doing. Does Krishna know what's happening inside your heart? Do you know what's happening in my heart? Even I do not know what's happening. But Krishna, he knows everything. What's going on. So is Krishna all knowing? Krishna is all knowing. And then Krishna, although Krishna has everything, but he is absolutely renounced. He is absolutely renounced. Krishna's renunciation, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, controller of the whole creation, Krishna leaves everything behind and goes to Vrindavan in a small village, and he plays like a cowherd boy. If you are a big man, can you leave everything behind? It becomes very difficult. How many of you are ready to leave home and go to forest? But Krishna left everything and went to the forest of Vrindavan. Although he possessed everything. This is the renunciation of Krishna. In this way you can see Krishna possesses all these six opulences to the fullest extent. He has all the wealth, has all the strength, all beauty, all fame, all knowledge, yet he is absolutely renounced. So that is why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Nowadays we see some people claim that they are the supreme personality of God. Most really, most of them don't even understand what the word Bhagavan means. They don't understand but they claim I am Bhagavan. They don't understand what it means, but they claim that they are Bhagavan. Now if we go point by point, like, do they have all the wealth? Do they have all the strength? Do they have all beauty? Most of them are so ugly. What to speak of? All attractive. And even in one count, they don't have them. They say that they are Bhagavan. And then they go to people and say, please give me some donation. They say that they are Bhagavan. But they are suffering from dysentery and lying in bed. All powerful. Actually, that's why it is very important that the proper understanding and knowledge is properly spread. We understand, like, people also accept, oh, he is Bhagavan, such and such person is Bhagavan. Right? But why do they say that? Because they don't know what the word Bhagavan means. So, therefore, it is very important that the understanding is properly established. We know, we understand what it means. And when the understanding becomes clear, then perception becomes clear. Then we will question, can we really consider him to be God? If we read Bhagavad Gita, for example, Krishna is telling who is God and why he is God. And even then he didn't stop at that. Krishna showed his universal form. So similarly, if somebody claims that he is God, then we can ask, can you show us your universal form? If you say that you are God, Krishna showed his universal form. Can you show me your universal form? But some of these Bhagavans are very smart. When you ask them to show the universal form, they will say that, do you have the eyes to see my universal form? Then also we can say, yes, we don't have the eyes, but Krishna gave Arjuna the eyes to see him. So you give me that. So, but when we come across the real God, then we don't have to worry about him. And what is the most important thing? that he's so attractive that we automatically become attracted to him. We can't help it. We can't help it. Just like when you're hungry, can you help the urge to eat food? When you're hungry, what do you want? Food. It's natural attraction. Natural tendency to get that. So similarly, when we become exposed to Krishna, we become naturally attracted to him. We can't resist it. We can't help it. So that is why it is so important that we study these scriptures under the guidance of proper teachers, qualified teachers. And when we study the scriptures under the guidance of a qualified teacher, then everything becomes crystal clear. Because the teacher knows how to impart the knowledge. The teacher says that this is how he must, you see, he must understand it. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena shevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. That the one must approach the qualified teacher with a proper attitude. That attitude is submissive attitude. Pranipatena. In a very submissive mood you approach him. Pariprasnena, you inquire from him sincerely. You question, you ask. Just as in a school or in college you ask, sir, what is the meaning of this? Don't you? If you don't understand, you ask. The teacher is there and the teacher immediately explains. How does he explain? Because he knows the subject. So upadekshanti te jnanam, he imparts the knowledge, jnaninas tattvadarshinah, because he has the knowledge. He has seen the truth. So this is the simple process. Very simple. Just like, say for example, most of you are, how many of you are Hindi speaking? How many? Okay, very good. Is Hindi easy language? Is it a nice music? So, but if I ask you, you say that Hindi is easy language. If I ask you, is French easy?
No.
Why not? Why Hindi is easy but French is not? Because you know Hindi, that's why it's easy. You don't know French, that's why it's difficult. So if you know something, it is easy. If you don't know it, it's difficult. But you know something? In France, even children speak French. It's so easy. So in this way, if we properly study the subject under the proper guidance, just like Hindi, why it became easy? Because you learn the language under proper guidance, through proper practice. Therefore, the language became easy to you. So easy that it has become a part of you. You don't have to think about it. It just comes automatically. Similarly, this subject, the subject of understanding God, understanding the spiritual reality, understanding the soul, is a subject. And we have to study the subject. We have to study the subject under the guidance of a qualified teacher. When you have the right teacher, and what does the teacher do? The teacher tells you, buy these books. Didn't it happen when you got admitted in the college? What was the first thing you did? They gave you the syllabus, the name of the books, that did. And you had to buy the books or borrow the books from the library. And you go to the class with the books. How does the teacher teach you? According to the chapters of the book. So similarly, if you want to study this subject, the books are there and the teacher tells you. How many of you have Bhagavad Gita? Very good. How many of you are reading them? How many of you have Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay, very good. Actually, we are studying here Srimad Bhagavatam. It will be good to have for the sake of Srimad Bhagavatam. Or as you are studying, you can take the book one after another. Like now we are studying the fourth canto, we have the fourth canto. Like in this way, systematically, we have to study the subject. Through the guidance of a teacher following the specific syllabus. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna, thank you all very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes?
Krishna was, Arjun can see him like, but when he was about to show his universal form, he is bestowed on him the spiritual life. Now, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. That form is the supreme one. But still, to see the universal form, he bestows the transcendental life to him.
Very good. So, did everybody understand the question? That Krishna, Arjun could see Krishna, and Krishna's form is spiritual. But when Krishna showed Arjun his universal form, then Krishna gave him the vision to see his universal form. So, but Krishna's form is originally spiritual, so Arjun had the spiritual vision because he was able to see Krishna. Yeah. Arjun was seeing Krishna because he was seeing Krishna with love. You can see Krishna only when your eyes become anointed with love. But in order to show his universal form, Krishna took away the love away from his eyes so that he could see the universal form. The universal form of Krishna is seeing Krishna without love. You get the point? Because that's why at the end of it you see Krishna is, Arjuna is telling Krishna, I don't want to see this form. Please show me your forearm form. Isn't it? So that way, please allow me to see you with premanjana churita bhakti vilochani. Bhakti means love. So with love, you see Krishna. You see Krishna's spiritual form. Without love, you see the universal form. And even that love becomes even more reduced, then you see the Brahma Jyoti. Right? Hare Krishna. Okay. Questions from internet? The question is from Guru Gauranga. Guru Gauranga is from Orlando in America. What is realized knowledge? How do devotees turn jnana into vijnana? Is it by mercy of Guru and Krishna? What is more powerful, devotional activities or endeavoring to get mercy of Guru and Krishna? Thank you. Very nice question, Guru Gauranga. Realized knowledge means digested knowledge. when the knowledge is received in the memory, then it is gyan or knowledge. But when that knowledge is realized, when the knowledge is perfectly assimilated, and that's why I use the word digested. You ate the food, it's sitting in your stomach. That is knowledge. But when the food is digested and becomes your energy in the body, and the cells transform your cell in the body, it becomes a part of your body, the food transforms into the energy in the body and the cells of the body. So then that is digestion. Digested knowledge is realization. Is it by mercy of Guru or Guru and Krishna? Yes, ultimately spiritual knowledge is spiritual reality is totally dependent upon Guru and Krishna. Guru and Krishna, actually it is dependent upon Krishna. But Guru, because Guru is the agent of Krishna, representative of Krishna. Like I want to buy a product of, say, Sony. The Sony is in Japan, but in Ujjain, there is an agent of Sony. Right? I don't have to go to Japan to buy Sony stuff. His agent is here, so I go to the agent and the agent delivers the goods which were manufactured in Japan. So, but ultimately who is the proprietor of the Sony company? The Sony. So similarly, the proprietor of the spiritual kingdom is Krishna, and he is the sole authority to give it, but he appoints agents, and those agents are the gurus. Guru on their own capacity is nobody, but because the agents of Krishna, they are important. A businessman with a shop in Ujjain may be an ordinary person, but because he is a dealer of Sony, he is important. You want to go get Sony stuff, you go to him. Because he has become the agent of Sony, he became an important person. What is more powerful, devotional activities or endeavoring to get mercy of Guru and Krishna? Actually, they are interrelated. The endeavor the devotional activities is non-different from endeavor to get the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Right? Devotional activities is simply geared towards receiving the mercy of Krishna. Devotional service means the endeavor to please Krishna. So they are inseparable. They are amounting to the same thing. Although it may be executed without proper understanding, but ultimately it's the same thing. Next question, also from internet. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. At the beginning stages of bhakti, when we have not developed love for Krishna fully, how can we become instrument in spreading Krishna's love and compassion for living entities? Very good point also. I'll repeat the question. At the beginning stage of bhakti, when we have not developed love for Krishna fully, how can we become instrument in spreading Krishna's love and compassion for living entities? Like again, I'll go back to the same example. The agent of Sony. You are selling the product of Sony. You may not be fully aware of who Soni is. Maybe your father set up a business, right? And you are carrying on. You may not know who Soni is. But if somebody comes to your shop, will he get Soni's product? Because you are doing it on behalf of Soni. You are an appointed agent of Soni. Evil. But while you are practicing, while you are selling, you are becoming more and more aware of the product. And then in course of your dealings with your customers, you get to know more and more. And also then sometimes what happens, Soni makes an arrangement. The conference of dealers. Right? They take you, the dealers from India are taken to Japan. At Soni's expense. And there you get to see Soni's factory, there you get to see. So this is how, although your knowledge is increasing by the practice, but the performance that you are doing, the product is being sold. Whether you know Soni or not, as long as you are representing Soni. So similarly, while we are preaching, we do not have to become fully self-realized or fully Krishna conscious. If we at least accept the fact that Krishna is God, then you can go and tell that to people. That is what you have to do. If you have accepted Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you are qualified to go out and preach. Preach means go and tell people about Krishna. You may not have memorized entire Bhagavad Gita, or you may not have memorized so many verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. You may not be an expert in giving a Bhagavatam class and so forth. But at least if you understood that Krishna is God, then you are eligible to preach. You got my point? You are eligible to preach. Because you can go and tell people Krishna is God. Then they may question you. How can you prove Krishna is God? Then what do you say? Come to the temple. Come to the temple and meet Priyavrata Prabhu. He'll explain to you. And if he's sincere, he'll come to the temple and he'll speak to the devotees and he'll be convinced, yes, Krishna is God. Thank you. Any other question? Yes.
Thank you so much. Sometimes I feel like taking inspiration from materialistic person. Like they work so hard, they get so early, and to earn some money, even if they are ill. And like salesmen, they will go to door for earning some money. Even they say those kind of doors which nobody wants. So I feel that why can I not do it for Krishna?
Very good point. Yeah. Yeah, a sincere devotee will take lessons from everybody. What to speak of materialistic people who are serving so sincerely. We take lessons even from a dog. We see that the dog is so loyal to his master. Why can't I become as loyal as a dog to Krishna? Why can't I become as loyal to Krishna as a dog is to his master? So this way we can learn a lesson from a dog. What to speak of a sincere salesman or a big company executive who is working so hard. These company executives, they work. They get big money, but they work for 12 hours, 20 to 14 hours a day. So from that we can learn that these people are getting 3 lakhs rupees a month. And they're serving them so nice, serving the master so nicely. And Krishna is giving me food, Krishna is giving me water, Krishna is giving me air, Krishna is giving me everything that I need. So why can't I serve Krishna? Krishna is giving me so much more than what this person is getting from his boss. Right? Can any amount of money equal to the oxygen that Krishna is giving us? So see, this much Krishna is giving us. So why can't we offer that kind of loyalty to Krishna as this company executive is showing towards his boss? towards this principle. Good point. Very good. Hare Krishna. Yes, Dr. Harry. Can you create artificial hunger? Yes, maybe you can. You can eat some, what is it called? Ingasakshuna. And your hunger will be increased. Similarly, there are some external means by which you can increase your attraction for Krishna. But the main point is that attraction must be there. How you develop it is different. But the main thing is, you see, we cannot artificially develop that attraction. It all begins with surrender. You surrender to Krishna and then gradually it will happen. We can't, you see, because we do not know how to love, what love is. All we know is lust. But we do not know what love is. Therefore, we do not know how to develop our love for Krishna. Just like a little boy, does he know what it is like to become attracted to a young girl? Does a 5-year-old boy know how it is? What kind of attraction is there? But when he becomes 15, then he knows what an attraction for a young girl is. It naturally develops. So similarly, by practicing devotional service, our attraction for Krishna will grow. It will naturally develop. By appreciation, when you see some good qualities in others, you learn to appreciate that. Right? Often, say you see that someone is very, very nicely chanting his rounds. He gets up early in the morning and sits down and chants his rounds. Some people will think, oh, look, he's crazy. Subah se uthkar kya karta hai? Chilla karta hai. So will he be able to develop that quality himself? No. But if somebody sees, oh, he's so good, if he begins to appreciate his activity, then he'll begin to think, I wish I also can be like. Then he also gets up early, sits down with him and starts to chant. Or this is how, you know, it develops. Like, say for example, somebody cooks very nicely, somebody sings very nicely. So you also appreciate. Oh, he does it so nice. I wish I also could do it. So you get it? Like, it is through appreciation that we will be able to acquire those qualities. Yes?
Captain
movie? Inception. Oh, मैं देखा
नहीं
हाँ You can say that life is like a dream. Yeah, life is like a dream. But when you are living it, it's not a dream. Is it a dream now? When you get hungry, do you feel, oh, it's like a dream I'm thinking about? Does it happen? If somebody comes to beat you up, then you think, oh, it's just a dream. You see, as long as you are sleeping, then you live the dream. Only when you wake up, then you realize that it was a dream. So because now we are asleep and dreaming, so we all are living in that dream. But yes, it is actually a dream. But in order to realize that, we have to wake up. Yes? देखो ये वैदिक जो ये है दान हो सकता है जो अगर ये कोई विशेष कार्य के लिए होता है जैसे दधीची मुनि अपना शरीर दान किया था वज्र तैयार करने के लिए टू क्रिएट टू मेक थंडर दधीची गेव हिज बॉडी बट अदरवाइज इन वैदिक कल्चर डोनेटिंग the body or the parts of the body is not prescribed. The understanding is burn it, finish it off. Because after all it is a cause of attachment. Mrityu ke paschat, agar sharir reh jata na, to atma, sukshma sharir mein atma, wo sharir ke prati uska ashakti reh jata. इसीलिए हमारा वैदिक संस्कृति में हम उसको जला देते हैं ताकि खत्म हो जाता है तो आत्मा का कोई और ये नहीं रहता है कोई आसक्ति नहीं रह जाता है तो देखते हैं वो खत्म हो गया आप क्या करेंगे चलो सामने चलते हैं
Darshan by heavenly themselves not
sinful. What's that?
Does the darshan by heavenly themselves not sinful?
Does whether the attraction
and
by celestial themselves is sinful? Yeah, it is. Any attraction for any material thing for sense enjoyment is sinful. So don't become attracted even by celestial themselves. Just become attracted by Krishna. That is the ultimate goal. उसको रहने दो और आगे बढ़ सकते जैसा कि कोई अंधा है और तुम उसके बाद उसका आंखें बंद है और तुम बोलते हैं देखो गगन में आकाश में सूरज है वो बोले कहा सूरज तो दिखाई नहीं दे रहा है और तुम अगर बोलेगा आंखें खोलो वो बोलेगा आंखें क्यों खोलूंगा मैं आंखें नहीं खोलूंगा तो तुम क्या करोगे वो अगर आंखें खोलना नहीं चाहता है तो सूरज कैसे देखेंगे तो वैसे ही जो बोलेगा कि शास्त्र ही प्रमाण है उस प्रमाण को जो नहीं समझना ग्रहण करना चाहते हैं उसको समझाना असंभव है
लेकिन
क्योंकि ये हमारे दृष्टि दो भिन्न प्रकार का होता है। हाँ, एक है ये आंखें, ये जिसे चर्म चक्षु कहा जाता है, हाँ, ये शरीर का आंखें है। वैसे मन का भी आंखें होता है। हाँ, जब ये आंखें बंद हो जाता है निद्रा में, हाँ, तो उस समय मन की आंखों में हम जो देखते हैं वो है सपना, मानस चक्षु। हाँ जरूर जरूर, लाइट असल लाइट जो है वो तो ब्रह्म ज्योति है, और ये अंदर में भी लाइट है, केवल बाहर का लाइट ही नहीं अंदर का लाइट भी दिखाई देता है, बल्कि वो लाइट हम इस आंखों से नहीं देख सकते, वो लाइट हम देखेंगे मानस चक्षु से, माइंड्स आई के द्वारा। ओके ओके लास्ट क्वेश्चन। It will depend whether it's for Krishna prem, whether it's for Krishna. It's good. We have to understand that that person has some sukriti from his past. Therefore, he is developing this attachment for Krishna. पहले जन्म का सुकृति के कारण ये हो रहा है। Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada.
अच्छा ये बंगला है ना बंगला।